What do you hear when you hear this? Oh, you know. Even Lucy's walking around with an imaginary magnifying glass looking for secrets. It is, of course, the theme music to Agatha Christie's Poirot, The Peculiar Belgian Director, played by my next guest for some 25 years in a series of films that I think numbered about 73 before he finally succumbed to a heart attack in Curtin, Poirot's last case. The actor is, of course, the wonderful David Suchet, who is touring Australia with an evening of splendid conversation about a wonderful career in which Poirot played such an important role. He'll be appearing at the Perth Concert Hall for two shows tomorrow. Play the quiz, you win two tickets. David Suchet, welcome to the Drive program.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
Lovely to have you here. I'll have to say that I was quite relieved while researching you, the ease with which you still speak of Poirot.
Do you know, there's not an interviewer that I've had since I stopped, that was 2013, and now that's 7 years, 2020. Every interviewer, before they interview me, says, I'm sorry, but I have to ask you about. And you know what? Don't be sorry. I'm thrilled. He's done such a lot for me and my career and my status in the entertainment industry. I've got everything to be thankful for.
I have noticed you say that Poirot enabled me to put bums on seats. So he gave your career great currency.
Yeah, because I'm a character actor. I'm not a romantic lead. I'm not a Cary Grant. I'm not one of these great big super duper film stars. I'm a character actor. I'm a homegrown British character actor, looking rather foreign, who got this wonderful opportunity to play this iconic character that is world famous. I was then fortunate enough to be accepted by the world as this character, and as a result, I started getting leading roles all over the world, on Broadway, in the West End, here in Australia 4 years ago. I was on a tour playing the lead. I would never have had these wonderful opportunities without that little man. So don't ever apologise. I'm thrilled that I played him.
I cannot eat these eggs. They are of totally different sizes.
What is it like to inhabit a character for that length of time? And to what extent does he evolve and you evolve at the same time? I guess it's the obvious question. How much of Poirot is in you today still?
Well, that's a very good question. And how much was Poirot in me when I started? And what's been the development? They're very, very, very observant. I would say, undoubtedly, it's impossible for me to say, oh, I'm so different and I've never changed. That would not be very truthful. He's taught me a lot. He's taught me how to listen well. And listening well, actually, is hard. Because most people, when they listen to other people talking, are working out what they're going to say next. They're not actually hanging on your every word. Now, Poirot actually says, and is famous for saying, and you'll forgive me for putting on his accent on air, but he says, Madame, I listen to what you say, but I hear what you mean. Isn't that a fantastic thing to say to someone? It means that he's hanging on your every word. So he's taught me that. He's taught me a little bit more tolerance, a little bit more patience, which has been very good for me as I've grown older. I'm still a bit of a grumpy old man, but every now and again I feel him knocking on my shoulder saying, hey, 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 come on, settle down, settle down. And he was a part of my life, and in many ways he still is. Where the similarities have always been in a certain amount of tidiness and order.
Monsieur Bennett, after you cut my hair last week, I went home and I measured each sideburn. As I suspected, the left one was 3 millimeters longer than the right. Let us make the effort, Monsieur Bennett, not to make a similar travesty today. A haircut is a partnership, Monsieur Bennett. It is a joint venture. I bring to it my hair, you your undoubted skills.
Hopefully I'm not quite as OCD as he is. If anybody gives me two boiled eggs, I do not measure them and can't eat them because they're not the same size.
And similarly, when the barber cuts your hair, if there's a millimetre of difference on each sideburn, it's not going to trouble you.
Indeed. Or sack my tailor because my suit shrunk because I put on weight.
On the programme, my guest this afternoon is the great David Suchet, paying tribute to a character that was very important to him. David, your career has spanned some half a century. You've brought memorable characters to stage and screen, be they Shakespearean, be they Freud, be they Oppenheimer. And yet I know that there was a point early on where you nearly gave it all away to become a suit seller for Moss Bros.
Wow, you got that. Where did you find that? It's so true. It was way back in, I think it was about 1970. I'd spent a year unemployed and I was working in I'm sure that many of the listeners will know this. There was a famous firm in London called Moss Bros. Mm. Still there.
I've got a raincoat.
Yeah, there you go. And you could go there for hire suits, for evening dress and that sort of thing. And they accepted unemployed actors. And I was working there for nearly a year. And they did a big sales promotion of their tail suits. Cutting a long story short, I did better than any other salesman. Monty Moss wanted to call me into his office this morning, that particular morning, to offer me a job, which would have been a life change, to go to Manchester, right in the north of England, to become a junior manager of one of his outlets. And I really seriously considered that this might be what I was destined to be rather than an actor, because I haven't been working for a year. Anyway, very, very quickly, I come in. I get told there's a phone call for me. I say, yeah, but I got an interview with Monty Moss. And he said, no, take the phone call because it's very important. I make the phone call and I hear a voice saying yes. And I said, hello, this is David Suchet. And he said, David, I need to speak to you. I said, do forgive me. Who is this? He said, David, it's your agent. I haven't spoken to him for a year. I didn't know who it was. Anyway, he was offering me a job, which I said yes to. I cancelled my meeting with Monty Moss, and the rest is history.
David, what is this career of yours to you today?
I think my ambitions have changed over the 50 years. When I started acting, I put my hand up again and admit I wanted all those ridiculous things as a young man that every young actor will want.
What were they?
Bit of fame, bit of success, bit of money, a bit of notoriety, bit of this, bit of that. And I grew up very quickly when I realized I would get none of that. I was a short, stocky, not very attractive. I could only play other people. Nobody wanted me to play me. So you grow up quick. But what it's allowed me to do by playing different characters for 51 years now, and very rarely just playing me, it's allowed me to, if I can say so, to leave my ego on the table and concentrate on becoming other people for the benefit of my playwright. And my whole career has been serving my writer rather than just serving me. And also in so doing, I have been successful. That's beyond me. That's other people's opinions. If they like what you do as an actor, then you become successful. If the audience like you, if the business like you, you become successful. The reverse is also true. So thank you very much for liking what I do, because it allows me, not only in the theatre but in the television, to come into your homes, to come out on tour like this and meet people. And that's one of the joys that my profession is now giving me, to come and actually say hello, whether it be on stage, on the street. Come on, I was in David Jones yesterday, and the lady, I wanted a coffee, and the lady behind the counter looked at me and said, wow, what are you doing in Perth? And I said, whoa, what am I doing in Perth? I'm here in David Jones, and I'm saying hello to you, and I'd love a coffee. She said, you got it. And it's that reaction, it's that pleasure, that joy. I mean, I couldn't be a happier bunny.
So whatever ego you had, you parked it a long time ago.
I parked it in the car park and I slammed the door on it because I'm not interested in that side of my business. That's the greatest trap for the entertainment industry. Leave your ego on the doorstep and serve the piece you're doing.
On Drive this afternoon, it is my enormous pleasure to have David Suchet in the studio. After half a century, what is essentially the same as it ever was in your business? And what do you think has changed profoundly or is changing profoundly?
Well, I think what is the same from my point of view, from every actor's point of view, is uncertainty. You never know when you're going to work, when you're not going to work. The same is also true that, you know, unfortunately, as I said just now, people have to like what you do or you don't get on. Mm-hmm. Because you're on show. My business is myself. And that's why it's easy to have an ego and it's easy to get deflated. And one has to learn an equilibrium in one's life. Because this is all, you're looking at what I sell. Mm. This is it. I have nothing else to offer. And hopefully a certain talent to fulfill my roles in different characters. What's changed is the style. Now everything is so much more naturalistic. You go to a film now, and it's very hard sometimes to hear the dialogue because it's so naturalistic that you can't actually keep up with it. And it's similarly in the theatre, modern plays. The languages has changed. That's the big difference now. Language, and also, I have to say, in the theatre and on the street and in society, this is me being a bit of a grumpy old man, manners have changed.
Yeah.
We're no longer that actually genuinely respectful to other people like we used to be. But that's, hey, hand up, I'm a grumpy old man.
But why do you think that is? Why are we less tolerant of another person's opinion? Why do we race for the door rather than inviting the other person to go through first? Why do you think those things don't exist and why do you think they matter so much?
Because I think in society, in the way we live now, we live generally in a very secular society. And a secular society doesn't mean one without a particular type of religion. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an unawareness of the one leg of our three legs that is missing. I like to say we're a three-legged stool. Three strong legs keep us stable on the ground. And I like to say we have mind, body, and soul. Our minds are educated. That's great. Education in this world is fantastic. Physical, yes, we have gyms. If we want to be fit, we can. If you want to be fat, you can. But there is a chance of being the fittest human being that has ever been in centuries. What about our soul life? What about, which includes creativity? But it includes a certain awareness that there is something beyond what you can see in you.
Something other than us.
Other than
me.
Us. Which equals generosity, kindness, things that science can't make in a test tube. Gentleness, kindness, love, consideration. These are all part of being human, and that is our third leg. Unfortunately, that leg is very short.
Mm.
So I believe that a lot of us are living a lopsided existence.
You said a few moments ago that this is all I have to offer. So let me observe what I see in you. You present very energetically, very enthusiastically. Do you have a sense of time? Do you have a sense of, I have this much opportunity in my future to do the things I want to do? Do you consider what life looks like in that context?
Yes. One of the great traps for me, and I think for other people who may be listening as well, is that we get too worried about the next day or the next month or the next year. And although what I'm about to say is rather cliche, it is also rather true. You can't do anything about yesterday. You can only hope for tomorrow. And the only time you've actually got is now. And you know what now is? It's called the present. But actually, giving somebody a present is a great gift. So what you have today is the greatest gift that you can be given, the time today. And it's necessary for all of us to just take a break. Take a break and just realize that you're in this moment. What can I do to make this moment fill up for the best, not only for me, but for all those that I touch?
That is the natural endpoint of this interview. But there's just one thing I will ask you to tell me. Much was said about the way in which Poirot walked.
Yeah, I know where you're going to go with this.
Of course.
Yeah. How did you? Where you're going to go.
How did you perfect the Poirot walk?
I'll pretend, talking about time, that we have very little time to discuss this. I put an old penny between the cheeks of my bum and I minced.
David Suchet, a great pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.